This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Hump Show means you can ask Amy anything. And so we're looking for your questions now, just over a half hour away from our Hump Show staple, longest running feature on After Hours, going back to the days when our show was three nights a week, Friday, Saturday, and earlier on Sunday. As long as you keep sending questions, we will keep answering. And by we, I mean me, because I'm the only one who shares the embarrassing stories. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can make your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thank you so much for reading my weekly column and for sharing it. I see some of you are retweeting it and responding, and that's cool. I really appreciate any of the time that you spend reading, because there are so many options on the web, on Twitter, on Facebook. We're bombarded by links, and sometimes I feel like we're just about the headlines. And certainly, we are busy in this country, so it's not like we have a ton of free time. But when you spend the time to read my columns and respond, it means a lot to me. And this week's column is about the trades that are impactful in the NFL in 2019. Though for every trade that is producing dividends, there's also a dud that wasn't worth the trouble. Now, I didn't spend a lot of time on the duds, but I did highlight a few of the deals that have not panned out. Antonio Brown. I didn't spend a lot of time on Antonio Brown. This was more about the athletes that are, in fact, turning into game changers after their franchises took risks on them. Because the NFL is a high-risk, high-reward business. Sometimes you have to spend the money to make the money. That's the cliche, right? But in the case of the NFL, sometimes you have to give up something to get something in return. And we're seeing teams more and more willing to take this leap of faith, to bring in an asset that they believe can put them over the top, even though there are a lot of unknowns. And so the NFL landscape is dotted with a bunch of contenders. These are contenders, first place teams, who've used major trades to bolster their chances of winning a Super Bowl. And some of them are high profile. Some of them are top of mind, like Jadeveon Clowney. By the way, did you know Monday Night Football had 16 million viewers? Boom! By far the most watched show on TV on Monday night. But also, I'd have to see the exact percentage it was up. It was way up from Cowboys-Giants the week before, and up, I believe, nearly 10% from a year ago, Monday Night Football Week 10. Boom! Exactly. So Jadeveon Clowney, even on the same field last night, Dee Ford, who's part of a revamped pass rush for the Niners defense, Emmanuel Sanders, hoping that he'll be able to play in the next game, despite the cartilage damage to his ribs. But the photo that the editor chose to go along with my column is not any of those players. I'll let you check it out. It's a cool photo. And I, again, appreciate the time you spent reading. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I know producer Chris retweeted it as well. And it's not on our Facebook page because, you know, I haven't gotten there yet. Some of us have to write CBS Sports Minutes, okay? No, it's on our CBS Sports Radio website, though. Actually, it's front page. Or page. You don't say pages on websites, right? It's, what do you say?
You say front page.
You say the front page of the website?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Front page. Front and center on our CBSSportsRadio.com website. Really quickly, too, while I'm offering thank yous and gratitude, you all are blowing up our podcast. I love it. So in the span of football season, we have seen our podcast downloads increase by 10,000 over the course of 2 months. You guys love football. I'm not going to take credit for it. It really is all about the NFL. It drives the bus, baby. People ask me why I talk about football so much. Duh. Our podcast downloads, in other words, the number of people, the number of times that you're downloading our podcast when you can't listen live, it's increased by 10,000 since the start of the football season, which is pretty awesome. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting the show.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Coach O. Coming up on Sunday, week 11. What? It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic QBs in the sport. And even though our promotional department doesn't know their first names, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens welcome Deshaun Watson and the Texans, followed by the Patriots bracing for another tough road game in Philly. Funny they don't mention Brady by just his last name. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. While you are on our social media, some of you are arguing. Can you just take me out of your arguments, please? People forget to take your Twitter handle out of their replies. And when sports fans start arguing passionately over social media, I get stuck in the middle. So does our show account sometimes. If you could just kindly take us out of your argument and make it more person to person, make it personable. But on our social media, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's After Hours CBS. Touchdown of the Week poll is still live. It's very tight between two particular scores from Week 10. And producer Chris pulled a fast one. He put up another show poll about illegal sign stealing using video equipment or technology. Do you believe it occurs in baseball on a regular basis? Ooh, ooh. I'm so naive. I generally want to believe that people, teams are altruistic. Because, you know, cheaters never win and winners never cheat. That was scary. I want to believe the best in people and teams, but I actually voted yes because I don't want to be naive. I do like the fact that Mike Fiers is not afraid to be a whistleblower and put his name on it. Yeah, that's right. Come get me.
You cannot be serious.
Oh, one of my favorite athletes of all time. And so I voted yes, again, because I don't want to be naive. That's generally what I am. I'm gullible because I want to believe the best in people. I've gotten more cynical since I started working in this business, though. I will say that. I'm not as cynical as some of you who have conspiracy theories about everything. But while you're on Twitter, After Hours CBS, you got lots of things to keep you busy. There's a moose as well. A real one, we think. And on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And again, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. A couple of other Major League Baseball stories before I shift back to the pigskin. It's, I know after the fact, but what an incredible honor for Minnesota's Rocco Baldelli and St. Louis Cardinals manager Mike Schilt to be named the managers of the year in the American League and the National League, respectively. Sometimes I wonder if these awards should come out before the World Series, similar to the way the NFL has shifted. You guys noticed in, I don't know how many years it's been, but in the last few years, at some point, the NFL started doing its awards before the Super Bowl so they wouldn't feel so anticlimactic. But regardless, even if the Minnesota Twins did run into their nemesis in the playoffs yet again, Rocco Baldelli earned this honor. And how about this? Nerd alert. He's the youngest ever to win the award. At 38 years old, he narrowly beat out Yankees manager Aaron Boone, which is somewhat ironic. But remember, these are regular season awards. They have nothing to do with the playoffs. The votes are already in before they start October. So Rocco Baldelli wins this American League Manager of the Year award, actually based on the fact that he got more second place nods. So they both received the same number of first place votes, but he got more second place nods and thus more cumulative points.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Not in this case. It was a tight race because Rays manager Kevin Cash got first place votes as well. Oakland's Bob Melvin was in the mix, along with Houston's AJ Hinch and Cleveland's Terry Francona. But the way that Baldelli showed up with the Minnesota Twins as a 38-year-old and had a laid-back style, one that players felt like they could relate to, that created an atmosphere where they were comfortable. And in addition, balancing the analytics, balancing that along with his knowledge of the game as a former player himself, and throw in the tidbit that he never managed before he was hired by the Twins in 2018, and it makes their 101 wins and first AL Central title in 7 years pretty impressive.
I always tried to do whatever it is that I was doing and do it to the best of my ability. And I really didn't look ahead to something like managing, much before it actually played out. I actually had to really think about it last offseason and make some really, big life decisions as far as what I wanted. I've had the opportunity to work with great people and learn from people, managers, people within the game. There's so many that I would love to call out right now, but I've been lucky because I've been exposed to a lot. I've been in great situations with great people who treat people well from the top down.
Two things that you will remember about the Minnesota Twins: they hit more home runs in a single season than any other team. In fact, the first team to go over 300, though the Yankees also did it, but the Twins had 307 home runs this season. And they only attempted 49 stolen bases, which is fewer than any other team. Make of that what you will. And here's something else that I had forgotten until I was reading back. It's actually the Twins' second Manager of the Year award in three seasons because Paul Molitor won it in 2017. No doubt they would trade those honors for the chance to get back to the World Series. However, this is still pretty cool for Rocco. Mike Schilt winning the National League Manager of the Year. His emotional thank you is something you need to hear. That's coming up next. But congratulations to both Baldelli and Schilt, both Central Division managers. All right, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. John says on Twitter, 2 hours ago when I started the car, it was 14 degrees. It's dropped to 7 degrees since then, though he doesn't tell me where he is. Thomas says it's 18 degrees in the Hudson-Nashua area in New Hampshire and very windy. But then Joe is trolling us. It's 54 in Bakersfield, California. Although California has had its own deal, its own struggles with Mother Nature lately, the fires, the drought, everything else. So I will not begrudge you your pleasant fall. Cedric says on Twitter, Chicago's lived up to its name the past couple of days. The Windy City, of course. And then Michael is in Noonan, Georgia. Real feel, 22 degrees right now. It's the Arctic blast. All I'm saying is wear multiple layers. Scarf wrapped around your face. There's no shame in that. That's what I'll be doing on Wednesday morning to walk the pooch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Green ready. The pitch. Molina swings and he loops it off Freddie Freeman's glove into right field. Tie game. Goldschmidt scores. Molina jumps, throws his right fist into the air. Yachty has tied the game with a single that Freeman missed making the catch by inches. Now the pitch. Molina swings and it's a high fly ball. Left field. This should win it. The catch is made by Duvall. Tagging at third. Wong comes down the line. The throw home. We're going to game five. Wong scores. scores on the game-winning sacrifice fly by Yadier Molina.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A couple unforgettable Yachty moments in the National League Division Series against the Atlanta Braves. And you remember how Game 5 started out. It was 10-0, right, before the Braves ever got the chance to bat. If I'm off by a run, you'll have to forgive me. This was some kind of a second half and beginning of October for the Cardinals. And that's the reason Mike Schilt, not the October part, but that's the reason Mike Schilt wins NL Manager of the Year. The calls with John Rooney on the Cardinals radio network. Yes, they were swept unceremoniously out of the playoffs by the Nationals. The Nationals broke a lot of hearts during the course of October. But you can't take away from what St. Louis did after hitting the All-Star break 44-44. So similar to the Nationals, though, their hole went back to May. But the Cardinals had an incredible second half run as well. First playoff berth since 2015. They had to battle to the end to win the division title. And while one series doesn't win you the award, certainly the history of the Cardinals going into Wrigley Field in September and sweeping a four-game set, that caught a lot of eyeballs and attention. Couple interesting tidbits about the Cardinals this season. They committed the fewest errors in the National League and also led the league in stolen bases. So congratulations to Mike Schilt as well as the St. Louis Cardinals. They had some pretty incredible pitching down the stretch as well. And despite what's happening in Mike's life right now, he still made an appearance on MLB Network after he won the award.
I'll try to keep the emotion intact. You know, I lost my mom last Wednesday, and, you know, that was a very difficult, trying thing to do and to go through, and appreciative of that time and love that her and my dad invested in me. But this is a time for celebration, not about me, for the people around me. We have some of our staff here. But this is an organization award. This is a team award. You know, this is for really a players award, quite honestly. Players and staff, our players are the ones that win awards. You know, it's my job's not to win an individual award. My job's to us to win team awards and then help players win their individual awards for their families and for their careers to get the most out of their God-given abilities. But I accept it graciously on behalf of our players and our staff and our front office and ownership, and it's an amazing blessing.
Congratulations to Mike Schilt, of course. Condolences for losing his mom. Gosh, I've had a bunch of friends who've lost parents in the last couple years, some suddenly, some because of sickness, and it just makes me appreciate every last second I have with my mom because I can't even imagine losing her. So congratulations to Mike Schilt and to Rocco Baldelli and both of those interviews on MLB Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's how you can reach us here on our Hump Show. More of your posts about how cold you are. Mike on Facebook says it's 17 in Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's wind chills or not, but I'm suspecting in Pittsburgh, where there are a ton of winds that whip around the city, it could be even colder if you're talking real feels. All the feels! Rob says in Peterborough, Ontario, it's 6 degrees Fahrenheit. And he also wants to know if the firing of Don Cherry got much cover in the United States. Yeah, I mean, talked about it on the show myself, and I know a lot of other talk show hosts and social media mavens were also commenting on it. It's a big story. He's a hockey icon. There likely will be new job opportunities for him, though. My boss actually sent me an email. He went back to listen to my comments about Don Cherry's firing from Sportsnet and how I handle my own show and not so much controversial topics or opinions, but where I remember that my responsibility lies and my first priority. And so he wrote me an email to tell me what he thought of my comments, which is good. If I can get the boss to respond, you know that it's moving the needles. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our Facebook page or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Let's see, some more of your screen grabs. In Crestview, Florida, I will confess I have not ever heard of Crestview, Florida, but I suspect that it's not near Miami because John sends us a screenshot where it says a freeze warning. It's 28 degrees Fahrenheit, feels like 20. Yikes. Another tweet from the Detroit area. It's 9, but feels like a big fat zero. Let's see. Cesar says 22 right now in Dallas, feels like 18. We're not used to this cold. Mark Real Fell. It's a victim of autocorrect. The Real Fell temps are 16 degrees in D.C., 15 in Morgantown, West Virginia, says Kevin. And in Jeanette, Pennsylvania, in fact, Phil says Jeanette is 20 miles east of Pittsburgh. It's 16 degrees with a wind chill. It feels like 11. See? Do you feel better? I feel better when you send me your tweets and your Facebook posts from all over the country so I know I'm not the only one who's cold. The last time I checked on my phone, so let me here check right now while I'm talking to you. It is a temperature of 22 degrees. But a real feel, because the wind is whipping around my neighborhood as well as the rest of the United States, it's a real feel of 8 degrees. Whew. And apparently, while it's supposed to get maybe a little warmer once the Arctic blast kind of blasts its way on through, coming up on the weekend, we're supposed to get another round of cold temperatures. I don't mind the cold. I really don't. I love snow. I feel like if it's going to be cold, it needs to snow. But the cold, if it's crisp and it's clear, I like it. Penny likes it. But I am the person who wears 3 pairs of pants when it gets into the single digits. I'll be out walking the dog with 3 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of socks, a shirt, a fleece, my heavy coat, a hat, a scarf wrapped around my head. It's got to be wrapped around my head because I cannot breathe in the cold air. That's bad for the vocal cords. So I do look funny. Sometimes I post pictures. In fact, I'm pretty sure that I have some pictures up on Twitter from last year when I had to walk the dog in the cold and took a selfie. I stink at selfies, but selfies when you're all wrapped up and no one can see anything but your eyes, I look great in those. All right, so you've got a couple of minutes left here. Questions for Ask Amy Anything. So After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, I will answer your burning questions as part of our Hump Show straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Go ahead. Ask me whether or not Major League Baseball teams are routinely stealing signs. With technology or without, I'm ready. I am ready to go. Thanks, as always, for your questions. Good to hear from you. We've covered a variety of topics on this show, and I'm sure we're about to get off the beaten path even more. We always do, both on Twitter and Facebook. We look for your questions, and by we, I mean producer Chris. He does all the heavy lifting, though I'm the one who shares the embarrassing stories. Chris, is that going to happen on this edition of Ask Amy Anything?
Oh, we shall see.
Okay.
We will start with a weather-related question, though, because that has been a running theme throughout this edition of the show. Alex wants to know, what is your worst experience dealing with the cold?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many because of the number of miles that I have driven over the course of my life. And part of this is because once I moved away from home after college, I never lived near my family again. I've always been so far away. So I have some crazy stories like driving across the New York Thruway in the middle of the night. So always working nutty hours in this business, driving across the New York Thruway in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, freezing cold. My car, I stop at a rest area. My car refuses to start again. This is an old Nissan Sentra. It's the middle of the night. So I have AAA, but all they can do is tow me to a local yard. There's no one open at the time who can get my car to start. So do you know what I did? I was in the middle of nowhere. I slept in my car in the tow yard. Now, they warned me there was, and by sleeping, I just mean I closed my eyes for a couple hours. They warned me there was a dog on the property to guard the tow yard and to make sure that no cars were stolen. And so I couldn't get out of my car. Once the tow truck dropped me and the car off, I got in, I locked the doors, I laid down in the back seat, and I waited until daylight. But even a couple of, I think it was just last winter, we had this incredible freak snowstorm. Driving snow. It was at the height of the storm. I'm coming to work and I had to stop on an entrance ramp or an exit ramp, but an entrance ramp to the next highway because my windshield wipers wouldn't work anymore. The snow was so heavy. So I had to get all the snow off of my windshield because the wipers weren't working. And there are semis flying by me like there's no snow on the ground. It was scary. I'll tell you one more. When I was working at my previous network, we had an ice storm in October, and I drove to work. So I was working a late shift, and I drove to work in almost complete darkness because the ice had taken out so many wires and poles, and so there are a lot of places without electricity. But my network had a generator, so we were, of course, still on the air. By the time I got done with the college football game I was covering, it was after midnight. A friend said he was 2 miles away, just come sleep over here. But I couldn't even get to his place because there were wires down. There was no way to get to his apartment. And so I slept on the floor in a studio at my previous network. My mom was freaking out. She couldn't get a hold of me. There was no service in the studio where I was. Yeah, it was all kinds of nutso. So working in some of the places that I have, Western New York, Upstate New York, Buffalo, Rochester. I went to school at Syracuse. Also being from New England and working at my previous network in Connecticut. I've got all kinds of crazy stories. I've also chased tornadoes at a job in Oklahoma. So, you know, it's part of the package.
Two words, essential employee. That means we get to come in no matter what.
Yeah, we are essential.
That's right. We'll go to Charles, who has another weather-related question, but this one is for Penny. And he sends a funny picture, check it out on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, of a dog wearing a full thermal, which I didn't know existed. And he wants to know if Penny has any snow gear.
Have you never seen the little dogs who wear sweaters?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, little dogs are, especially terriers and the wiry little fur they have, they have very thin coats, and so they have to wear sweaters. Penny already has not just a built-in thermal. So Australian Shepherds have what's called an undercoat. So it's an insulation. But she also has thick hair on most of her bod that I'm constantly combing. So no, she wears no kind of gear. The only thing I've considered, so for many of you who have dogs, when they walk in the salt that is put down on the snow, it burns the pads of their feet. So I have actually considered making her wear socks, but I just so that she wouldn't have the snow and the ice and the salt on her paws. But here's what happens. We walk, she stops, lifts her paw up in the air, and waits for me to clean it before we can keep going. So she lets me know when she's uncomfortable or has salt on her feet. So yeah, she's good. She loves the cold. Obviously, they're native to Australia. They're working dogs. This is their kind of weather, so she's really happy.
We now have a football season-related question from Bill. He wants to know, during football season, what is your Sunday schedule like, and when the heck do you sleep?
Well, I don't sleep during football. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. People say that to me every single week. I get a tweet about, why aren't you sleeping, when I'm tweeting about football. I don't know how you expect me to talk about football for 4 hours if I'm not watching it. So during the season, an average Sunday is like this. Sometimes I go to church. I teach kiddos. Sometimes I stay home and try to get my life organized. But I always start, obviously, with the early round of games. I take notes. Well, I start my notes. So I do headlines. I'm following the top stories. And then, of course, you got the national games that take place in the second round. So then I start to get real busy with my notes and fill in with stats and with some of the kind of aftermath. I have a laptop. I have a radio, satellite radio, so I can tune into any game. I also have multiple channels up on TV in which I can follow games. And then, of course, the Sunday night game. So it's a 16-hour workday. From the time the games start until we get done with the show on Monday morning, it's 16 hours. But I don't nap on Sundays, obviously, and I don't sleep. Maybe I sleep until 9 a.m., but the dog still has to walk. She doesn't care that it's an NFL Sunday. And so, yeah, there's Sundays is just a really hard day. I'm typically up 24 hours before we get to bed on Monday. But that's it comes with the territory.
From one job to the next, Kelvin wants to know, how did your play-by-play experience go?
Oh, it was good. The first two games were really good. The second one better than the first because like any athlete, like anybody who works in broadcasting, when you haven't done a particular job or you haven't used a particular skill in a while, well, then it takes you a minute to shake off the rust. So I felt like my rhythm was a little off when I did my first game on Thursday, but on Sunday, I did my second game, and it was much better. And the Columbia women's basketball team got its first win, and so I had a chance to do some courtside interviews after the fact. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah, it's my niche. It's my happy place is courtside doing college hoops. Though TV is still a bit of a different animal for me. I'm used to talking nonstop and describing everything as a radio play-by-play announcer, and so it's outside my comfort zone to do TV play-by-play to the point where sometimes I feel awkward because I'm not filling every space. But here's the advice I got recently. If a viewer can turn his or her back and still know exactly what's happening, meaning the announcer is describing everything, including location of the ball, well, then you're talking too much. So I told my analyst, hey, there are going to be times where you feel like something's happened to me. But I am deliberately taking longer pauses and letting the broadcast breathe, which, hey, if you know me, you know that is not the easiest thing for me. It's not my favorite thing to do is just sit there.
Well, we know one of your favorite things to do is to visit your granny. And Jim Maybe. Says he's going to visit his gran on Saturday in her nursing home. And he wants to know what games should he bring to play because they like to play board games together, too.
I'm telling you, my Grammy loves Upwords. She will play 5-6 games at a time, 3 or 4 days a week. My uncle goes to play during Packers games, so he's watching football. She's kind of watching football, but she's getting games of Upwards out of it. So I would say if you could find Upwards, that's a very popular game with my 97-year-old Grammy, who, by the way, is currently experiencing temperatures in the teens. But when I talked to her on Friday, she said it doesn't matter how much snow. There was snow. She told me it was going to snow during the Packers game Sunday. She said it doesn't matter because I don't have to go outside. Wisdom from a 97-year-old.
No shoveling in her future. God bless her. Jason wants some behind-the-scene intel on the show. He wants to know, how do you go about choosing some of the interviews for the show each night?
Well, that's your job. Although sometimes I come up with ideas and Chris and I will collaborate. Basically, we're looking for an insider, a reporter, someone who can take us inside the biggest stories that are taking place. So on last night's show, we had someone from the press box in Santa Clara in the wake of what was an incredible Monday Night Football game. Last week, we had a Major League Baseball pitcher who was offered to us, but it was great because he's a Brewer who was part of the playoffs and had a really cool story in coming back from Tommy John surgery. I have a lot of contacts and a lot of people that I've worked with over the course of my 20 years in this business, and so sometimes those are the guests that we have on the show. It's really dictated by what's happening in sports. So very rarely do we have an interview pre-planned that has nothing to do with a big story on the show. So Chris is responsible for communicating with all of our guests and potential guests. And I know that takes a lot of legwork. And then we're really excited to be able to mix in personalities like a Reggie Kelly. So former NFL tight end that we had on the show last week, and every now and then fun stuff. I'm trying to get him to reach out to Rachel Ray's people, but I'm assuming that he hasn't done that yet because he's not taking me seriously.
Hey, you don't know.
Have you?
My email inbox is churning a little
bit. Have you?
I have.
Okay, cool. That would be amazing. I do like to do interviews that are non-sports every now and then.
Hey, we could shoot for the stars and see where you land, right? That's the motto, isn't it?
Your host is a star, so why can't we get another star? I'm totally joking. I don't even know what that means. just so you know, coming up 30 minutes from now, we'll welcome Jerry Palm, who is constantly breaking down rankings and predicting bowl matchups going back to week one of college football. So he'll join us to talk about the latest set of college football playoff rankings. Here on CBS Sports Radio.
Would not be After Hours without a couple food questions. We'll sneak those in. Ron wants to know, aside from potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, is there a Thanksgiving side dish that you have to have? Mine is creamed onions, interesting, because it reminds me of my grandma.
Wow. Let's see. We always have some type of a green bean casserole. We always have a vegetable at Thanksgiving, which is good. And we always have a gigantic salad. It may not sound very much like a Thanksgiving dish, but in my family, we always have a huge salad that goes along with every meal. and so that's probably the only thing that's different. We're pretty traditional Thanksgiving. I cannot wait for Thanksgiving meal. It's one of my favorites of the year. And I'm responsible for the pumpkin pie. So that's my deal. My sister-in-law goes out and buys usually a fruit pie, maybe an apple, also a pecan pie. But I'm the one who makes the pumpkin pie. And unlike 2 years ago, I will not forget to put the sugar into the pie. That was interesting. We had to then like put a ton of ice cream and whipped cream on it so that it would not be too tart.
That doesn't sound that bad. That sounds pretty yummy, actually. Alan wants to know, he has a hot take question here. He says, hot chocolate, marshmallows or no marshmallows?
Yes, marshmallows. If you're going to drink hot chocolate, you might as well throw in the marshmallows. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Ed has another food question here. He wants to know, for your potato chip variety, do you prefer something that is poofy or crunchy?
No, I'm a crunchy person. I really, really love crunching on the hint of lime Tostitos and hint of jalapeno Tostitos. But you know what? Since I didn't eat dinner, the Sun Chips in our vending machine in, I wouldn't call it a kitchen, but whatever that room is, where the microwave is, the little cubby, the vending machine's got Sun Chips. And I'm so, so tempted. But I had popcorn instead, although not the entire bag, because when I opened it, boom, it went all over the studio. Fantastic.
Chris wants to know, have you ever put your homemade chili on noodles or pasta before? And if so, did you like it?
No. I know that there are parts of the country where noodles are considered a staple in chili. I've never put it on pasta before, but I have put it on salad. So I'll do a taco-like salad. And I've also put it on rice or put it over a sweet potato, which is a good way to add a little bite to it. So if I don't have a huge bowl left or if the pan is almost empty, I'll add it to something like rice or a potato. I actually ate chili on Tuesday evening when I was procrastinating from writing my column. I had made a big pot of chili over the weekend. Oh, so good, so good. And then I discovered I'm out of Rotel and kidney beans as well as chili powder. So guess who's going to the grocery store this weekend to get the chili staples. One of these days, I'm going to make another pot of chili. Maybe we'll do it during this Arctic blast because it feels like the perfect way to combat the cold. 1 hour to go. Thanks for joining us on our hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.